Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And our guest today is Shelby Koppel. Hi.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. How are you? We just did this. We
Yeah.
did just do this.
I do feel like I'm forgetting my lines of how I'm doing.
Yes.
But I'm great. I'm good.
Are you reading anything these days besides our texts today?
Yeah, so I've been struggling with books in general, but I'm reading Priest Daddy. It's
Nice. I
like,
have that on my shelf. It's up next.
oh, hell
Yeah.
yeah. Okay, hell yeah. Yeah, I keep on forgetting where I am and then picking up randomly in the middle of chapters I haven't read. So, really ADHD, but it's good so far. I can kind of relate to it because I didn't grow up with a priest for a dad, but I grew up super, super Christian. So I think it's like, and I like the way she's writing about things because she's kind of applying a nuance to it. Because I think for the first 2 or 3 years coming out of church, I was like, fuck you guys. But now I'm kind of looking back and seeing it with a little bit more oh, these are just people. And it's kind of funny to look back at all the things Christians used to go wild for. Like the thing that's been coming to mind for me the most is sand art. I don't know if you ever, have you ever been to church?
Once or twice, a handful of times.
Evangelicals get real weird with it. So I went to church a few times a week growing up. I went to Bible school and stuff, but evangelicals go crazy for sand art, which is somebody standing with a projector and they're projecting onto a screen in front of everyone as they move sand around a table, and then suddenly it becomes Jesus's face or the cross or something, and everyone just has tears streaming down their face. Yes, it's I've never seen any It's just, I don't know, just things like that come to mind when I'm reading her book, but it's pretty good.
Oh, nice. I did not grow up in the church, but have a very huge fascination with Christianity as a whole and faith as a concept. I think because I grew up outside of faith, I think I have this thing of like, how does that work? It's fascinating, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't work is kind of how it works. I don't know. No, faith is fun. It's like it's kind of like our the book we're reading.
Yeah, great transition.
Horrible. I was about to say that was like a train wreck. But yeah, no, it's kind of like the book we read because it is like kind of like you believe in like this book being like magical and like doing something in the real world. And like I felt like as I was reading it, I was feeling a lot of parallels between like what this number one, why is everyone so book sexual in Inkheart? I think I li bro, I literally think that I mixed up Aragorn Gorn or whatever it's called, Aragon and Inkheart, and I was like, let's do Inkheart because I thought it was about dragons, and then every single page is like, and the books were amazing, and we love
Yes.
books, we're all into books, and it was like, oh, so meta.
Our book today is Inkheart by Cornelia Funke. It could be Funk. It's from 2003. I never read this, but it was everywhere. And I think thinking it's a dragon book is completely makes sense because one of her other big books, I think her big three are Inkheart, The Thief Lord, and Dragon Rider. It's on like all of the copies. So I think that's not a crazy thing to say. Although would love to do Aragorn, another book I didn't read. This book is all about how much we love books. This book is I love books. And
Yeah, it kind of gets to the point where it's like shut the fuck. It's like it's kind of erotic. Like she's like, and we walk through like Eleanor's shelves and we're touching all the pages and it's like, ugh, if this was iPhones, I don't know, if this was phones, I completely get it. But this is like it's like when your mom was trying to tell you you should really like this backpack that you didn't want and I don't know if that's everyone's experience, but really trying to sell you on something where you're like it's so mid.
So, what was your story with this book coming into it? What did you remember about it? Or had you never read it before on accident?
No, I did read it as a kid. I was kind of, I loved reading as a kid. I think I was homeschooled for a bit and wasn't super isolated like some homeschoolers are. I had like a bunch of random friends from co-ops, but I just like because of not seeing friends every single day, like I think I just read a ton. And even when I transitioned to public school and middle school, I was like such a big reader, like annoying about it, like would stay in from recess with the people who had detention so that I could read. Like so into it. And I wish I was like that now. Now I just like curl around my phone and scroll through. I've deleted it, TikTok, because I can't be trusted with it, but I have Instagram Reels, which is worse, or like YouTube Shorts, which is truly like a fever dream. So it's pretty pathetic. But I think for me, I remember this one. And even though I mixed up the two, I don't even know how to say Aragon or Aragorn, but who cares? But Inkheart, I just remember really liking it as a kid and re liking Inkspell and stuff. I think I was really into like horny books though. I think this one wasn't horny enough for me, except for they're horny for the books, but like there's
Exactly.
not, yeah, there's not really, there's just kind of some like making eye contact, like nothing like really. But yeah, I think I remember really liking it as a kid. But you said it's a first read for you.
Yes, I think all I knew of it was like it's the thick red book. Like the cover's iconic. I knew of it. I knew it was a Brendan Fraser movie, but I think I never got into it because of the thickness. I was just like,
Yeah.
this is not, I'm not up to it. I don't
Yeah.
know. Like, I mean,
Very fair.
I was a very studious kid, but I wasn't a reader. I was like, I could either like do my math problems and I will get like a gold star, or I could read this really long book and what are they gonna do? Like, but for those who don't know, this is about a young girl and her father who have discovered an accidental ability in reading aloud. They can read characters into the real world coming out of the page, which I think is a great idea. And I think so. Reading it the whole time, I was like, God, if I was a really big book kid as a kid, this would have been perfect, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I don't remember when I read this, but I think I must have been around the age like Maggie is, because she's like 12 or something. And yeah, I think at the time it was like, oh, that's so cool. And I think too, I reading it the second time, I don't know. I was listening to it on audiobook. I didn't like actually get it from the library, because I'm still like, I don't even know how libraries work anymore as an adult. Like I have a card. I just am really bad at like figuring out how to go. It's so
No, I
stupid.
get that. I have lived in this neighborhood for almost 3 years, and I walked to the library once, and it was like there was a construction site like across the street from it, and I was like, well, I guess I can't go. Like there's I guess there's like a forklift in front of it. I don't even know if it's related, but I
I get
can't go.
so overstimulated at the library. I'm like, there's 32 DVDs on how to cook Italian food. I'm just like, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm lost in like 80s magazines, like 80s USA Todays. I'm just like, it's like Lady Di just passed away again. It's too much.
The idea of being overstimulated at the library is so
I know
funny.
everyone's sleeping, everyone's like taking a nap at a table, and I'm just like going, making eye contact with like a 90s self-help writer on the back of a book. But I think on second read of this, I kind of was like in and out of consciousness while listening to this on tape, and it would be like chapter 56 of 412. Like, and I'd be like, okay, I think that they're segmenting this differently than the book would. And the narrator was like, I was like, have you spoken to a 12-year-old girl? Because she would like, every time she did Maggie's voice, she'd be like, Father, I can't do this. And it was like British accents. And I was like, oh, bro, like, chill out. But so they could read people out of like Inkheart and read people into Inkheart, because Inkheart is the name of the book, the book. So meta. This whole book is incredibly meta. But they also read Fareed out of the book at one point, who's kind of like a little bit of a Maggie love interest. And I was kind of like, maybe I missed this part, but I'm like, what's to say they can't just be reading people in and out of every book? Like, I know Inkheart is like special because it's more magical, but like they did do it with one other character, and I was like, stay on that.
Exactly. That's true. They, at one point, like as a test, they, her dad, Mo, reads something out of 1001 Arabian Nights. And so this kid named Fareed pops out of one of those stories, and they're like, "Great, we're not paying attention to you anymore. You can like tag along." And what's nice with Fareed is he is like, "This is better. Like, I'm really happy to be here." Because one of the main characters, Dustfinger, which is Brendan Fraser's character in the movie, I haven't seen the movie, I'm
I haven't
assuming.
either seen the movie. I was like, maybe that'll be a hack and it'll save me from this hell that I'm in. But honestly, like, I kind of want to watch it now a
Yeah,
little
I
bit
think I
just
might
for
do
fun.
like a mini episode of me watching it for next week, because
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
I'm gonna be traveling and like in and out of town, so I might do something cute like that. But Dustfinger, this one, like one of the main characters, is constantly being like, "Put me back in this
Yeah,
book."
yeah.
The main character's mom disappears into a book, and the antagonist of the book is, it's so meta. The antagonist of
So meta.
Inkheart is also the antagonist of the
Inkheart.
Inkheart,
Yeah.
whose name
People are
is
really following at this point.
exactly. And the bad guy's name is Capricorn, which I did love.
I
Fun.
love that too. Cam, my boyfriend, is a Capricorn, and living with him has been horrible. So, no, I'm just kidding. Not horrible. But yeah, I think Capricorns are evil. So I think making the main antagonist a Cap, they're not at all.
But this book is from 2003. It was originally published in German and then translated. Cornelia Funke is German. She started out, she actually has a fascinating biography that I looked into. So she is born in late 50s. One of her earliest memories, like I think most kids born in late 50s, is watching Man Walk on the Moon for the first time. And she's like, "I want to be an astronaut." She loves Star Trek, and so loves Star Trek, but only one episode comes out a week, and her younger brother is really annoying, so she starts writing episodes just for her younger brother in
Oh my
between.
gosh.
And
Wait,
I
that's
was,
so sweet.
right?
I love that.
And so she eventually becomes a social worker. She goes to college to learn about pedagogy, which I have heard a lot. It's like the academics of teaching. It's how to study
Okay, I was
teaching.
like, foot doctor, cool.
Exactly. But she becomes a social worker. She like wants to write for kids who don't like reading, which I love. I think those are like the best children's
Wow.
authors.
Yeah.
And she started out as an illustrator. My copy also said that she designed board games, which is a dream job for me.
Yeah.
She was an illustrator and she was like, "I do not like this story that I'm illustrating, so I'm gonna start writing my own." And she does. This is her fourth book. She writes her first story at 28, which I really like.
Yeah, that's hopeful being an elderly person, like who hasn't achieved anything. It's kind of like, oh, amazing.
She's often been referred to as the German J.K. Rowling, which I don't love for obvious reasons, but it makes sense, especially like this book came out in 2003, same year that Order of the Phoenix came out. Like it's very in the zeitgeist. But Cornelia, since 2012, has been a German ambassador for the UN Decade on Biodiversity. I don't really know what that
Oh,
means, but I really like it. Good for her.
that's really cool. I don't, if there were a lot of plants in this, I missed it. I don't remember, besides a thorny hill that they climbed up, like I don't really totally remember any biodiversity in the book, but it's cool. She seems like kind of a jack of all trades. It reminds me of like the Dune author guy who had like 65 jobs before he wrote Dune. And I'm like, that's my vibe.
Have you read any of the Dune books? I'm listening to one of the
Yeah.
audiobooks right now.
Yeah, I have. I've read the first three, I think, maybe two or three. Literally like 2 years ago, Cam was reading them and we were trying to do a book club of just the two of us, which is so humiliating. But yeah,
I
so
do
we
the
both
same
read.
thing, yeah,
Oh,
with my boyfriend.
really? Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. It's sweet when you guys do it. It's like really like hideous when we do it. But so we both read the first one and then I read the second one and then I think things got too weird for me and he's read them all. So
Nice.
he's like kind of a sicko about it. I kind of also have like, I don't know if it's because I was like drunk for most of my early 20s and then quit drinking midway through, but like I kind of also like forget things really quickly. So like I can read a whole book cover to cover, be totally invested in it, totally in it, and then like 2 months later, if you ask me any questions about it, I'm like, no clue, not even a
No.
clue what's going on with it. Like a pasta strainer, my mind. Like
And the Dune books are very bad about that. Like I'm listening to the fourth one right now on audiobook, and I multiple times a Dune book ends and then the next one starts and it's like 3,000 years have passed.
But
You're
they'll
like,
make like 1,000 callbacks to the last book. So
exactly.
they'll be like, as we all know. And I'm like, what? Like,
Exactly. And the fourth one starts. And the fourth one starts. It's like it's been 3,000 years, but the main character is still alive because his tiny human face is pasted on a body of a giant
oh
worm. And now he's got a fiance. Good for him.
it's so weird. It gets so weird. I cannot wait, though. I hope they do that to
Oh
Timothée
my
Chalamet.
God.
Shove him in that worm suit.
Exactly.
Put the twink in the worm. Dune goes kind of hard.
Where Inkheart is, I think for as sprawling as Inkheart is, it's very contained, actually. I think that was something almost frustrating to me of like they go to this village where the bad guy lives and then they leave and then they come back and then they leave and then they come back. A lot of
There's like
it.
four locations. It could be like a stage play. It's like Eleanor's house. Then
It absolutely could and should be a stage play. Oh my gosh.
I call being a life-size Gwyn. Like the
Yeah,
little
the
like
little.
Martin. I love when in plays they do this. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen like Annie where they make a child the dog, but it's like horrific looking. And like I feel like somebody at one point in the made a compilation of like Sandys from the play Annie, just like as kids, and it's just like this horrific looking costuming done by like somebody's mom. And I just love when they make like animals, like it's just so awkward, like nobody wants it to be happening, but like the creature, it's like, I want to be pet, but it's a full-on human. It's like the worst example of that, I guess, is like Cats, the musical, which is like absolutely unwatchable. But Gwyn, the horned Martin companion, I feel like would be
Yeah.
funny.
So reading this, I was really reminded of Golden Compass, which was we've done on the show, is a book that's like very, very close to my heart. And I think unfairly the whole time I was like, oh, they did this in Golden Compass, but like better.
Oh, when did Golden Compass? I wasn't allowed to read Golden Compass because it had atheist undertones. I was shoved into Narnia.
It had
So,
atheist overtones in that book. James McAvoy says, "I'm gonna kill God." Like I don't blame your religious parents for saying don't read that. That was, I think, 95.
Okay. It was supposed to be
And
like a rebuttal to Narnia, right? Which is all like
yes,
Aslan is God and he dies for you.
yeah, and.
Literally the exact thing as the Bible.
Yeah. And I really like Golden Compass, but I was thinking, like, you cannot go from, like, the only thing I can think of is not a book. It's Charlie Brown. You can't go straight from Charlie Brown into Golden Compass. It's like a really hard jump. So I think this is a really good step.
It's like a bridge
Yeah.
before. I see what you're saying. Honestly, maybe I'll read Golden Compass next, fuck
It's
with that a little bit.
very good.
I'm scared. Will it turn me into an atheist and then I'll go to hell?
No, but they do go to the afterlife in the third book,
Oh,
and they
that's
are like, we
fun.
have to die and walk through dead bodies. It's very
My God.
scary. But in that book, everyone has like an animal companion, and hers, I think, ends up being maybe not a Martin, but like a stoat or a.
Similar. Yeah, I felt like this book was it was interesting. I feel like out of all the characters, I related to Fareed, who's like, is this a dream? And then also like Eleanor, who was always like, my feet hurt. Like, I'm like, those are the only two that I'm like finding a lot of similarity with. Yeah, it's also so funny that they did the like trope of like mom missing in your life, and when she is, she's mute. Like, it's like they really. I'm like, damn, like for a female author, like they really don't like women to be talking except for like if they're like the butt of the joke a little bit. But I guess the main character is like a little girl, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like you get that a lot with like Disney. It's like, 'cause like a lot of the situations wouldn't happen if there was like a mom involved, I guess, is like the argument. But I don't know if it's all gendered as all that, but I was just like, interesting, interesting.
You're definitely right though, in that there's like, I think there's like a trope of dead moms in fantasy especially. And in the beginning of the book, we are just told that like her mom is gone, has been gone for like 9 years. And it's revealed later that she disappeared into Inkheart one day. And they end up reuniting at the end of the book. She has been read out of Inkheart, but is mute, like you said. And it does feel like instead of trying to correct that sort of trope, it is sort of like, it's like
Here
a
it is again.
90% correction. Yeah, it's still, I think that was something with this book of like, I felt all of the value of it. Like it, not for me, but I understand, like, I think it's just such a good idea of like feeling the things come to life. Obvious feels like a negative word here, but it feels like such an obvious dream for kids who love reading that those things become reality and like Tinkerbell comes out and gets to spend time with them. But I think in the end, I was like, so these people who adore books, because everyone very horny for books.
We were often late to school because we were just reading at the breakfast table. I'm like,
Exactly.
hey, guess what? Shut the fuck up. Like you're not better than me because you read. It's like so projecting my insecurities. But I'm like, you guys aren't better than me because you can read a little book and get lost in it and forget about time and forget about your food. I'm like scarfing food. I don't give a fuck about this book.
It was reading it like Maggie. It's not Maggie, it's Maggie, which I think I would have been very annoyed by. And then I was like, it was written in a different language, Aaron. Maybe get over that.
True.
But Maggie and Mo, her father, like move around a lot, have sort of a very nomadic life. And I think in the end, you're like, that's probably good because I think Maggie would get bullied because of how much she,
In a big
in
way.
a big way.
I was about half as interested in books as she was, and I was bullied all the time. And honestly, not even just by students, by teachers. Because I remember one time I like stayed in from recess to read. This is so fucking embarrassing. Well, I was like doing the thing where you do the 20-20-20 rule. You like every 20 minutes, you shut your eyes for 20 seconds by looking 20 feet or more away. And my mom had taught me that. And I was like looking out the window, taking a little eye break, which is what we call them. And the teacher slammed the blinds down because she thought I was in detention, like because I was getting detention and that I was like looking out the window longingly at recess. But I was like, I hated recess because it was too violent for me. And I had opted to be in detention like no child had ever done before. And so she slammed the blinds down and I was like, I just remember being so insulted because I was like, I chose to be here so I could finish my book. Yeah, she would have been so bullied, so bullied. She's so annoying about it. She's like, the books did call to me, but I knew I had to go. Like, it's like, okay, like, shut up, kind of.
Yeah, I think it's like she wasn't set up for social success, certainly,
No,
by
she's
her
got a
father.
weirdo dad. They're on the run. Her only friends are like women who hate children. I loved how much she hated children, though. Eleanor hating children was kind of iconic. She was like, no
Eleanor,
child has ever been here before.
exactly. She was like, I don't know if I want this child in my house because I simply don't trust them. She did sort of talk about children in those opening passages as if they were like zoo animals, just like simply cannot be trusted. But I really liked Eleanor. I felt like Eleanor was unique to this story. Like I don't feel like I get that character in a lot of fantasy. Mo is a bookbinder. Eleanor is played by Helen Mirren in the movie, I think. She is like very significantly older. She is a rare book collector. They go to her house that is like floor to ceiling shelves. There's a special library that is like the cool books versus all the other books.
Like her inner sanctum. She's
Yes.
like, these are the extra awesome ones. And it's like, okay, what's in there? Like the Bible.
Well, actually, I do want to know her thoughts on the Bible because I bet they would be funny. But
That's actually in the cheap book section. I'm just
yeah,
wrong.
she's grouchy. She's old. She talks a lot about, like, my feet are hurting and I wasn't built for this. And I
Me at
like,
parties. Like,
exactly.
this is literally me.
They like run away from this like abandoned village where most of the book happens, and she's like, see you guys later. I am getting a hotel. I need a pedicure and a spa and a croissant. And this waiter is giving me a negative eye because I'm eating this croissant and I don't care. Like I slept on the ground last night. I love her. And she just
I
felt
know.
like refreshing and different and honest. I really liked her.
I liked her too. Also, her arc was really good because by the end, her just like trying to distract Capricorn, like the whole thing, she was like, she had a change of heart by the end, which was kind of fun to watch.
Definitely. And I think, I don't know that many other characters arc in that way. I think like a lot changes for Maggie or Meggie and her like understanding of the world. She has a lot more information than she does at the end or at the beginning. But I think my sort of frustration coming off the book is like, I don't know what like the theme or the main idea is. I don't know what we're supposed to walk away with other than like books are cool. Especially because like
Books are really
books are
cool.
really cool. But I think like there it's these Meggie and Mo are these two people who adore books. I love the way she writes about the act of like reading aloud and storytelling. There's so much reverence for that. But these people cannot safely read aloud. So that seems sort of like cursed. Like, I don't really know how I'm supposed to walk away feeling, you know?
Exactly. They don't really like heal from it, but this is like kind of the first one in a trilogy, I think, right? So maybe by the end, I don't remember the other two, but I know I read them at the time. I think Inkspell got more horny, so I was like, that's the better one.
I want Eleanor and Dustfinger to be together. I think that was hot and cool. And I think she deserves it. I think it like makes sense for a woman whose entire world and life is literature that a man comes out of a book and she's like, this is the only suitable companion. I think it makes complete sense. And I think it would be revolutionary for young people to see like grandma getting it on with Brendan Fraser. I think that'd be wonderful. And it's like, I think the movie came out in 2006. The book came out, I know the book came out in 03, but like early aughts, Brendan Fraser just off The Mummy. That's fun. I
Yeah,
want
that's
that.
honestly so fun. And it's also kind of it's just giving like women who take that hot book to the beach and like kind of have like a relationship in their head with the main character. I'm like, but it's like acted out in a fun way. That's a little fanficky. Yeah, Dustfinger, it was so just remembering like how children's books names are and how weird they can be and like just being like, all right, I'm legitimately now emotional about Dustfinger and his like whole journey of like whether or not he'll be a good guy. Like that was fun. I remember as a kid being like kind of captivated by like ambiguous characters. And I think as a child too, like things, I think the reason why this fits so squarely in the like 12-year-old to 13-year-old age is because you're starting to realize people are complicated. You don't fully realize that, I don't think, until like you do the final boss of your parents are complicated when you're like 25 and you're like, kill me. Like I can't grapple with that. But I think developmentally, you're just like starting to realize that good is not purely good, bad is not purely bad. And like this character, I think, really kind of awakens that like developmental process because he like is super complex. Like he's like scary at first. Like his introduction is so fun too. Like the fact that he's like outside the window and you're like, oh my God, he's obviously bad. And then like I think as an adult, I was a little bit more like, all right, because now you can't get away from like truly the most complex characters all the time on television. Yeah, I just think like his complexity was like fun to revisit that time in your life when you were like complexity was new, you know?
You're absolutely right. I think we're getting things of like the complexities within the adults are like, because Mo, the father, is so idealized, like really, and that is like makes sense. He is her son that she orbits around just because that's how like childhood works. And she discovers that he has been hiding things from her, pretty cataclysmic things. But Dustfinger is fascinating because he wants to go back into his book, into Inkheart, that he was read out of, and he doesn't know how it ends. He can find out. Everyone is like, it is bad. Like things do not end well for you. And yet he continues to want that, which is fascinating to me. And that he, like you said, I think he like kind of falls out of the narrative for me as it goes on. But he is a double agent. He is working for Capricorn. He betrays Maggie and Mo to get what he wants, and it's very messy. And Funk has some really fantastic moments in his introduction. It's a literal dark and stormy night. There's a stranger in like traveling clothes outside who comes in from the storm. I think the other like huge cinematic moment for me was at one point, Eleanor comes back to her house and every book has been thrown off the shelf. All of the books in her sanctum have been burned, and there is a dead rooster hanging from the ceiling, which I think that was one of the moments where I was like, oh, we're entering new territory. Like something is different. I've arrived. I loved that.
I feel like it had legitimate stakes. Like, I think that's one thing the book did really well. Like, especially, I think that they were age appropriate stakes. Like, Capricorn's not the scariest villain of all time. It's like one of those things where they talk about how scary he is, but nothing's real. And then you're like, you meet him and he's like kind of just a little bit like fabulous. Like, I think that his henchmen, like Basta and I forget the other one's name, and their dogs were scarier, kind of, which I think sets up the next books pretty well. But yeah, the dead rooster was kind of crazy. Like, I took it as like gangster intimidation. Like, it kind of felt like, yeah, just basically like that. I don't know if there was any deeper symbol in all that, but
I know that they pull that move often. But yeah, I think it was just like a tag of like, we're here and we
We've
can come
been here.
back. Now that I'm thinking of it as a play, which I love, I think this setting of like an abandoned village, reading this book, I'm like, this would have been perfect for recess. Like this is so playable of I'll come out of the book and then I'll run around here. And I thought that was really fun. It is like it's such a even I don't think it needs to be 538 pages
Oh my God, no, not at all. There
not
were
at
like, that's
all.
like, I was trying so hard to like skip through without missing important details because they go on, bro. They like, it's like that writing where it's like three synonyms where it's like just use one word. Definitely it's too long, but with her like love of books and everyone loving books, I'm sure like for them it's like a longer book. What a delight. With more words when there could be fewer. Like,
Although I feel Cornelia Funke seems to be just like the chillest person in the world. She really seems to like she seems like a really cool kid, and
This
I
book
like,
doesn't scream German to me, though. You know, like, I think that this book, even though it is like distinctly kind of like German and some of the fairy tale elements and things like that, like, it's not as like brutal, I would say. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, I was kind of surprised to learn that it was originally written in German and then translated because it kind of just gave like English vibe.
I read it as like Italian. I don't know why. Maybe
Oh,
because of
because
like
of
Fangoglio and Bastia and
Fangoglio.
yeah, all sort of like on the Italian hillsides. But yeah, I think there were moments where I was like, Dustfinger, like if he is an American, is such a rat. He like becomes a cowboy, you know, and
Oh,
really drifts
100%.
differently.
I was picturing, you know, Brandon Fraser for sure, but I think that I was picturing in True Detective, not Matthew McConaughey, the other one.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. Yes, I'm picturing Woody Harrelson just because he's got that like chaotic good vibe to him.
Especially like young Woody Harrelson, like Cheers era. Oh my gosh.
Totally.
I love Cheers.
I still haven't seen Cheers. I need to watch it.
I was rewatching the pilot a while back. I love when TV shows used to be 26 episodes a season,
Oh
and
my
you know,
God.
and there were episodes that are just like, everyone's got a cold this week. Here we go, you know?
It's so comforting because it doesn't mean like every moment has to advance the plot. Like, it feels so comforting. I'm rewatching Sex and the City and it's just like that. It's like 40 episodes, they're all 20 minutes. Samantha's just like fucking randos all the time. It's just like, in that it just holds you and you're like, I just know that I'm gonna come out of this and it's gonna be, Carrie's gonna be annoying. Miranda's gonna be like, I don't have a boyfriend, you know, like it's all gonna be very like, it's that comfortable predictability. Going back to Finoglio.
Yes. Who is the author of Inkheart.
Right.
That they find. Yes.
Yeah. It was just kind of a fun character to throw in at the end and be like, this is how we're going to get out of the situation we're in. I felt like that was kind of cool and like gave it a little bit of a groundedness. A kind of bit because it was like, oh, like he's like, really? Like all my characters are coming to life. Like, I don't know. It just kind of it rerouted it before it got too
right.
I think it was kind of crucial to the success of like the ending being pretty satisfied. Like,
yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think like I'm now seeing that character and the book as a whole more as like maybe not just for readers, but also to turn readers into writers. Because I think something infinitely cool about writing is sitting down and being like, oh, there are no rules and I can just make it up. And the solution in the end is Capricorn wants Maggie to read like the biggest monster out of Inkheart so that he can have world domination or whatever. And so she and Finoglio are
I said it wrong. There's literally no way I said it right.
He basically says like, well, I wrote the book, so I'll write a new ending and you can just read it out loud. And I think that is like the perfect way to teach kids about writing is that like it really is just making it up as you go along, and the only person you are accountable to is your own imagination.
Yeah.
And I think that is wonderful. And I think also like must have been fun for Cornelia. I mean, this was her fourth novel. She had already had some success. I think to just be like, yeah, I'm going to be there, buddies, and I'm going to go crazy. Yeah. And like a little, I don't even know or believe that it is like written to be herself rather just an author. I think fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure she like mocks herself a little bit with his like over the topness, but I do think like it was just, and maybe too, honestly, I can see this, like, to me, that's when she starts to like really play when she's like writing this ending. And like, for me, I'm like, it could be inspired by like an author she hates or an author she loves, like who knows, but I did realize, I don't remember who he was being like attacked by at the end, but I just remember him like being like, I invented you, stop doing this. And I was like, that's just funny. Like, sorry, that's just some good old, like, it's just some classic humor. And as a kid, I just remember like, because there's a distinct moment as a kid, I think, when you go from like hearing jokes or doing something funny and all the adults laughing and you don't know why, you're either like pissed about it or you're like excited that everyone's like laughing at you even though you don't know why, to being like kind of gathering more and more understanding of like what a joke is. And I do feel like this book was trying to also be like, this is what jokes are. Like, do you remember that? Like, kids?
Yeah.
I thought that was a fun character. I liked Eleanor probably the best, even though she was the worst as well.
And the book acknowledges that this is a woman who can be a little tiring to be around.
Yeah.
But I think also at the same time, what I liked about Finoglio is that he is too into it sometimes and he doesn't realize the quote reality and stakes of the situation. And that.
Yeah.
And there's this repeated refrain of like, no, books are written by real people. Like, just because it's a book doesn't mean it's ancient or detached from present day, that these are living things that can work with us.
Totally. Yeah. I thought it had a really satisfying ending too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it just was like pretty structured pretty well. Like, Maggie reading the new writing. I think it was satisfying. I literally just finished it like an hour before we hopped on. I think that's one thing I admired about the book. Like, it was kind of like the content wasn't exact. My favorite, again, was expecting dragons, got none. But the ending was really satisfying. And I think like, I just remember as a kid really liking when Fareed and Maggie, when they get a little bit more romantic with each other. Yeah.
The ending, like you said, is really nice. Like, we don't kill all the bad guys. At one point, Maggie is to Fangolio, he's like, we need to kill them all. And Fangolio is like, well, you're 12 and you're suggesting murder. Although I agreed with her.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's murder. They're fake. You made them up.
Right.
They're like, we have all of these like fictional characters, and we don't know if we can safely read them back into the book or something. So they're all just gonna go live at Eleanor's house and like party. And I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, because it's kind of also like now her house is not just occupied by like books, it's like filled with people and she's like pushed into relationships.
Because there was a moment where Maggie is like trying to get the truth out of her father that was really, I really hope I can find it in all of, I don't want to harp on it. It's so long. It's
It is, it's long as hell.
really long. But
Yeah.
there's some sort of sentence that's to the effect of like, why do you think I'm too young to understand something that is like already affecting me? Like, I'm not too
Yeah.
young to be impacted by it.
Yeah, I do remember his secrecy and protectiveness being like at odds, and then it comes to that.
That relationship is really wonderful. It's so
Yeah.
rich and
Like it's such a safe place, but it's also like I feel like that is such a good relationship too to iterate like the coming of ageness of this book because he's like kind of doing the thing that all parents do where they like protect a kid and then realize that their kid is becoming an adult and like this book is so squarely pre-adolescent, like not to get clinical about it, but it's true. His like primary concern just being like keeping her safe and she just wants to like know what's going on and fight back and help him. I feel like I don't remember where that scene is. I was trying to look for it.
I mean, here's a moment where she thought, why didn't Mo listen to me? We could have gone home. Like, we could have avoided all of this. Why doesn't he listen to me? I thought those were, I think it's, when we have those moments of grounding in emotional truth despite fantastic outer worlds. I think I also wanted it, like you said, to be like higher fantasy, to be dragons.
I
And
know. Yeah. Read
I
a
think
dragon out of the
exactly.
book.
We could fly away. We could set things on
Yeah.
fire.
Yeah.
But I
Yeah. I
thought,
think I wanted it to be a little bit more intense. The names were fun and playful. I feel like the silver tongue name for Mo, and like, I don't know, just like it didn't have any like really fantastical elements that I was like, oh, I really want that to happen.
Another tie to Golden Compass. The main character in that is, I think, like a 9-year-old girl when it starts, similar, like just about to enter adolescence. And the first scene in that book is her overhearing a conversation between her father and another guy. And it's the same thing in here. They're overhearing a conversation about the plot. But later on in the book, this girl ends up negotiating like a truce between polar bears or
Oh
something.
my
Yeah,
God.
actually, it's like that. The main character in that book, that little girl, is just one of the best characters ever. I love that character. And one of the polar bears is like, you did this so well. We're renaming you. You have a new last name because you're such a smooth talker. We're going to call you Silver Tongue, which I thought was really
Oh,
cute.
that's awesome. That's so cute. And now you're making me want to read it. Like, I guess I will. But I think that, yeah, the trope of like, I was kind of reminded of that reading this. It was kind of like calling me back to being 12. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, so many things that you're like not really supposed to be privy to, you're just kind of eavesdropping because you're there as a child and you don't know where else to be. And you're like, well, this is, I'm just kind of existing over here. And if there's no other kids, you're not really playing. So you're just kind of hanging out. And then like parents are talking and they don't realize that you're that close. And I'm like, damn, that's like such a good device for like plot for a children's book because it's like, I don't know, the first few chapters I w didn't really like Maggie until she kind of like warms up to you a little bit because she's annoying as hell. She's like, I heard you talking. Like, I'm not gonna get back in the car until you tell me what's going on. And I'm like, damn, that would not have flown in my house growing up. Like, everyone would have been like, yeah, you will. And that's the end of it. Like, you'll get back in the car and she's gonna be the scariest
It'll be
guide
like, we
ever.
will leave you.
Yeah, literally. So I think that that part is, I don't know, just like overhearing things as a kid and then them revealing like that there's darker secrets going on. Like, I don't know, that it just called me back into childhood in a fun way. And I was like remembering what it's like to be like. Just kind of not have autonomy and then just be around.
So much of childhood is just being around. And so, and be like, when I think of my childhood, I think a lot of my childhood was waiting, was like waiting for a parent to like come home from work or like finish so they can pay attention to me and like waiting to go to the grocery or something like that, which is maybe, I
Did you
mean,
ever like hide in the clothing racks at a department store because you were bored? I would do that. I would just like go into the center of the clothing racks and just kind of like hope my mom like would like play hide and seek or some shit with me. And she'd be like
No.
yelling at the customer service people like about a return or something. I'd just be like sitting in the clothing rack, like, are we gonna do something? Are they gonna find me? Oh fuck. She leaves. You have to live there now.
I think that's something the older I get, the more I'm like, I made a lot of assumptions as a child, which is normal. You like, you're given a limited amount of information, but the leaps I made did not make sense. Like, there are things, like, when I was in third grade, I told my mom I was depressed, and she was like, oh, this is really bad. We need to like get her therapy. But she didn't explain like what therapy is or was. So she took me to this place and was like, go sit in this room with this lady. And I was like, it's all dark. This lady's just like sitting really quietly. And like every once in a while, like I'm like a
Sounds like
feral
an episode of
animal.
Scared Straight. It's like
Exactly.
you won't have depression anymore. You'll be
Exactly.
alone in a room if you do that.
And somehow in my head, I was like, she is giving me away. Like,
That's
I.
so funny. Oh my God. That's so funny. My mom, when I was like 3 or 4, I was like, I'm running away. And she like took my little Ariel suitcase and slammed it on the bed. And she was like, I'll help you pack. And I was like, oh, and I like ran out of the room crying. I was like, no, like you won't help me pack. And I
Oh
was
my
like,
gosh.
yeah, she's kind of a crazy one.
Oh my
Capricorn.
gosh.
It's probably something way worse than being a Cancer. Everyone listening to this is like, no. No, that's not astrology. Don't blame astrology for that. That's so funny. I feel like your genuine fear of being left is like similar.
Yes. Damn, yeah, I there's a lot to unpack there.
Inkheart. To me, this kind of is a book that stays squarely in childhood. I think it's not really something that I'm like reading now and I'm like, oh, a real page turner. Overall, I think it was like very good. I would totally think that it's a good read still for like kids like that age, like 12-year-olds, maybe, I don't know, maybe younger. I don't know how kids are these.
Fifth grade.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm not coming back to it. But I was like, I was glad to have spent time with it. I get it. I get why people loved it. I think we've touched on it, but like, what are, do you think the big things that you noticed in the difference of time? You mentioned not as big of a book person, but.
No. I think as a kid, I probably read this and I was like, of course, like books are the best thing ever. And finally, my people. But now reading it, it's just kind of like, okay, nobody is this one note. Like nobody is this like maybe librarians are kind of like this still, but I think it's really rare to find people who are like, books are my life. Like all I do is love to think about books. And also just the way that they talk about books, it's like, I only know people who are like, I really like reading history, or I really like fantasy, or I really like this. They don't just talk about books at large. Like who has the time? I think capitalism is grinding us into like dust so fast. Like I'm working so fucking much that I'm like, no, like I don't have time to just like books in general. Like I have to like you have to kind of pick a lane if you're gonna like books. Just no time. It's clearly this is why this is German, because it's like a little more PTO going on that you can just like books on the whole. Like you kind of have to be like, I'll read 4 books a year. But no, I don't know. I think that part probably as a kid I really liked. And I think too, yeah, the concept was just so fresh of like you can read someone into a book or out of a book, and it feels a little like the surreality of things that shouldn't be alive or being alive is like actually no, I'm not gonna go down that track of like AI being a thing, but like that's
Ooh.
so fucking annoying. But it's like I think the reason why this didn't hold up for me as an adult is because like this isn't the weirdest thing that could happen, and actually things feel like they're happening in the real world a little bit.
I think that makes sense. I think like the difference between fiction and reality is that fiction has rules and reality doesn't have to be held to like this development does not make sense.
Yeah, totally.
It's
In a
random.
post-Trump era, it
There's
sounds like villains coming to life out of books is just like already happening. Not to be like the world's worst person in the world, but that's kind of how, like, it feels like life has been a cartoon for a little minute now. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
4 years.
I wonder if that is unique to our time period,
Yeah.
or maybe unique to our time period in terms of technology. Like that was
Yeah.
something interesting. I mean, this book coming out in 2003, like they had cell phones, but that
Yeah.
was kind of the extent of technology being present and sort of playing a
Yeah.
role.
For sure. Yeah. So I thought it was like really fun. It was fun to kind of revisit that feeling of being like 12 or 13 again. I think that's like relationship to her parents, or her dad, the relationship. Like, I feel like I felt what like a piece of myself that I haven't like revisited in a while, but I think that as far as like the actual book, apart from if you hadn't read it as a kid, I think that maybe it would just be like, oh, I'm squarely reading a children's book right now. Like,
Yeah, but it has merit. It has good stuff. I think, like,
totally.
to me, this belongs in a continuum of other books that we've done in reading level between like Tale of Despero and Golden Compass.
Okay, I saw you do Tale of Despero, and I honestly was dying because I do have a little story about that. Can I go
Yes,
on a tangent? Okay,
absolutely.
so 5th grade was iconically my first year of public school, and the transition from homeschooling to public school was absolutely horrific. And I remember there were several ways I was trying to make friends. Like, I'd bring a recorder to school and like play it with my nose, and I was like, this will get me friends. Nothing, everything
That's a
backfired.
comedian.
Yeah, literally. And I had calico critters of the mouse family, and my teacher for reading hour would do, she would read aloud the Tale of Despero, like chapter by chapter during reading hour. And I would play with them and act out the story on my desk, like the top of my desk, and ruthlessly got bullied for it. Because also, like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm literally like acting out, like, she's like doing the voices, and I'm like acting it out with these books. And everyone else is like, da 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 hooked up with da da da. Like, just like the first, like in high school, was like, I could not relate. Like, truly was just like still squarely like 8 years old in my head, and everyone was already like moving on to being a preteen. So, Tale of Despero sticks in my head for that reason.
For trauma. Yeah.
Yeah, for trauma reasons. Yeah. Yeah.
Good book, though. Good
It
book.
is. It's so good.
I think that one is superior to this one because I think it has a lot more focus and a lot more to say. Like and this is not great for every book in the universe, but she came in with a to-do list of like, this is what I want to tell you and what I want to make sure you leave with. And
Oh yeah, totally.
I
Yeah,
like
this
that.
felt more about like the plot than any real meaning. Like, I kept on like trying to look for meaning in it, and it just, it can't be. That's why it's more of a kid's book, I think. That's why it stays a kid's book, I think. If it had something to say, I think then as an adult you could be like, "Oh my God,"
Yeah.
but yeah, you're totally right on that.
Would you consider it required reading?
No.
I agree. It's a good book. It's sweet. It's fun. But yeah, there's
Yeah.
other things that are gonna take the spot.
Yeah, this is like if your family is like taking a road trip and you need to dissociate, this will give you so many
Perfect.
hours of
Yes.
dissociation as a child.
Because like Dustfinger is in the back of a van on a road trip
Yes,
disassociating about a lot of
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Literally. Yeah, but no, I wouldn't say like a no that's like don't even read it, no, but just not required,
Yeah. I'm glad I read it. I'm glad because it felt like such a I should have read it. You know, like
Yeah.
everyone read it. It was everywhere. It was like the center of every Scholastic book fair.
Yeah. Oh my God, the
I
Scholastic Book
know.
Fair, the smell of the Scholastic Book Fair.
The smell. It is always, I feel like anytime people talk about it, people are
The
like, the smell, like
smell.
the smell of the like the order sheet you would get like a week before. It was something like that.
We did also, I don't know if you did that. Well, this sounds kind of regional, actually. I grew up in the west suburbs of Chicago, and we did like if you read a certain amount of books, you got to go to the Kane County Cougars game or to Six Flags to Great America. And those are tied with the Scholastic Book Fair for me, because there were always like
Nice.
rewards if you read so much.
Right.
I was like easy, and like in the first month of summer, just be filling out these flyers with how much I had read. And I just remember my friends being like, "I didn't read that many hours, and my mom's not going to sign it," or my mom will fake it so that it looks like I've read that many hours. And I was like, "You child, you absolute child! I've read 60 books at this point." There was such an ego behind how much I
Yes,
was reading, which I
that's
think
true.
actually is reflected in Inkheart, because they all have kind of a book ego a little bit. They're a little bit like
They really do. The
they're
book
book club.
supremacists,
Yeah, literally.
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's such a childhood thing of being like,
Oh my
I
gosh,
read.
100%. And for some adults still.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
Do you have anything to plug as we round out?
I guess I've been writing a little bit. If you want to read some weird essays, you can head to my blog, which is called High Praise on Substack. So I don't know if
Perfect.
anyone's interested in that kind of shit. But yeah.
Yeah,
All
amazing. Well, thank you so
right.
much.
Thanks, Erin.
Thank you, Shelby. If you are interested in supporting the podcast, please go to buymeacoffee.com/required reading and remind me to put that plug at the top of the episode. We're working on it. Next week, it might be this Mysteries of Harris Burdick. It might be. Wait, what day is it? It's that time of year, folks. I'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles.